Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate, they risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Kim Patterson, Associate Director of the University Center at McLennan Community College. Hosting the conversation is Lisa Wilhelm, Community Relations Coordinator at MCC. This conversation was recorded September 4th, 2015 in the KWBU studio.
You're listening to the Central Texas Leadership Series on KWBU. I'm Lisa Wilhelm, and I'm speaking with Kim Patterson today.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Kim.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel like I've just seen you. I don't know. Maybe on the McLennan campus.
Perhaps. We do go back a ways now.
We do. We really do. About 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. Wow. I know. It seems like a long time, but then it seems like it was just yesterday.
It does.
So, yeah. So, yeah. Well, I'm really glad to be here with you because, I mean, we talk a lot, but we don't always talk about some of the stuff we're going to talk about today.
Right. And we talk about things, not ideas.
Right. So this will be fun,
yeah.
I think. Okay. Well, let's just start out a little bit. Just briefly talk about your background, including where you're from, your family, youthful dreams, ambitions, that kind of stuff.
Okay. I was actually born in New York, or the New York area. Both my parents were born and raised in Brooklyn, and all our family's still up there. We're the only little subset of our family that broke off and moved to Texas. We lived mostly in the suburbs around that area, Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. And we weren't gypsies. We moved a lot, but my dad worked for the federal government. So when you want to promote in the government, you move. Mm-hmm. And so when I was seven, my dad took a job in Dallas. Okay. And so we picked up and moved to Texas. And yes, it is like a whole other country when you're from that part of the world up there. I remember when I was in fourth grade, the teacher pulling down one of those big maps, you know, how they used to have them, and say, well, let's look at where Kim's moving to, you know. And it was all about cowboys and horses and Indians. And it was kind of crazy.
What everybody thinks
Texas was. Anyway, we moved eight times when I was growing up, which is a lot. And the funny thing about that is that in retrospect, that has really helped shape me because you become very adaptable when you have to move a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think it's helped me be, you're kind of a chameleon-like. You can fit into a lot of different situations. And so I think that in a strange way kind of helped my leadership ability because I was pretty quiet as a kid, and I learned as an adult that you have to really get out of your comfort zone and fit in order to make any kind of contribution.
Right.
So I've turned into almost stubbornly rooted now here in Waco because I've been here for, gosh, 30 years or more.
Really?
Yeah, and lived in the same house. My kids went to the same school all the way through school. So I guess I wanted something different for them. But in my life, the moving helped really broaden me and I think it's really contributed to my leadership in a strange way.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because where I grew up, 60 miles east of here in Fairfield, I was there from the time I was 4 years old until I graduated from high school. So I was kind of completely opposite from what you're talking about. And I'll say I think it also helped me in a lot of ways because I had friends that I always were around. And my best friend was one of those people, just really, really bright person. And we were very, not competitive in a bad way, but I mean, she really did push me to get involved, to volunteer, to get, better grades. And I think that really instilled that sense of giving back to the community my whole life.
Right.
And really being a part of something. And, you know, so when I went to A&M and I got into some groups there that, you know, again, I was just there and was there the whole 4 years. And it's a different way of doing things. I do feel a little bit like I'm a chameleon in a way, but I didn't have to be growing up necessarily.
Right. And my husband was like you. He grew up in the same house almost all the way through. And there's a confidence and a comfort there that you have with what home is.
Yeah.
And I had to learn to redefine what home was.
Right.
And, you know, my family was always consistent, but our world was very different at times. And so But I do think talking about what you say about giving to the community, it makes you appreciate the community you're in mm-hmm. when you see it from an outsider's perspective.
I'm sure.
And you see where you want to plug in and where you can help. And you know, it took me some time to find that in Waco. You
right.
know, I came to Waco as a Baylor student.
Right.
Typical, you know, lived in the bubble. And mm-hmm. then I got my first job. I thought I'd stay in Waco a year, you know. It's been a little longer than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a little bit.
And as time has gone on, I have just gotten involved with so many different organizations and causes, and you know, each one as good as or better than the last
right.
because there's a lot of need, but there's also a lot of just opportunity to give and to help. And I guess I just have a hard time saying no.
Right.
Yeah.
And there really is a lot to do here in Waco. I mean, there you said there's a lot of need, but there's a lot of people that want to get involved.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
It's funny. I've been giving my daughter, who just graduated from A&M in May, she started law school here in Baylor. I had to give her the big Waco sales pitch when mm-hmm. she was picking her law school because she was like, I don't want to go back.
Yeah.
I said, trust me, honey. Waco has changed
yes.
so much in the last 4 years. You just almost don't even recognize the energy.
Yes.
And she immediately saw that when she got back to
yeah.
town. So it's pretty cool. It's nice to have an exciting product to talk about.
Yeah, and it's also nice to have somebody who grew up here coming back, going to law school and, you know, hopefully staying
yeah.
and being, you know,
rooting.
Yeah, you know, and being a leader in our community that we need that. We need some real good female lawyers out there.
Yes, we do.
Yes. I'm proud of her.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's talk about the greatest influence you have had as a leader in your life. Specifically, how has this affected you?
That would be my dad.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a very smart, outspoken person. He was one of those people that kind of mastered the room when he walked into it. Kind of intimidating to have a
reminds
a parent.
Me of somebody we worked for once.
Yes,
it?
Precisely,
Dr. Michaelis.
And what's funny about that is that I think because I grew up with someone like that,
mm-hmm.
I've never been intimidated by powerful people.
Right.
Like we were just talking about John Maxwell previously, our distinguished lecture speaker. I've had the opportunity to escort or be the hospitality host for mm-hmm. those folks, every one of those big time people that we've brought in for the lecture series. And they don't intimidate me. I'm honored and mm-hmm. humbled to mm-hmm. be with them, but they're people.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else. And so I guess it's been a good thing for me that I grew up with a dad who was like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was in the Department of Labor. He was an attorney by trade, but he worked in the Department of Labor and was over like a 7-state region. So he has a pretty mm-hmm. big job. And what's cool about it is not so much who he was or his leadership style, but what he was doing.
Because mm-hmm.
we're talking about the early 70s, and this is a time when they were implementing a lot of the wage and hour laws and equal employment opportunity and Fair Labor Standards Act came in, and he was setting things in place and enacting laws that really affected people's lives, you know, from then on. It's
right,
really changed
way.
The world in a big way. Our society changed at about that time, you
mm-hmm,
know,
mm-hmm.
coming out of the 60s into mm-hmm. The 70s. And I knew as a child that he was doing big things, but I don't think it was until I was an adult that I realized, wow, you know, that was pretty cool what my dad was
yeah.
doing, and he was passionate about it.
Yeah, you kind of gained a new respect for him in that
absolutely
in the business world.
And he died actually when I was very young. I was 25 when he passed
yeah.
away, and I really wish he could see me now as an adult.
Yeah,
because I was still forming when
right.
I was 25, and a lot of I think people see a lot of him in me.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's just go back real quick, let you know that you're listening to the Central Texas Leadership Series on KWBU. I'm Lisa Wilhelm, and I'm speaking with Kim Patterson today. We're both McLennan Community College employees, and you know, I didn't ask you this. What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah,
I do kind of a lot of different things. I've been at the college for 20 years,
yeah,
a little
wow.
over 20 now, and again, just started as a part-time employee, kind of just looking for something to do. And, you know, I found out as I've gotten older that I don't do anything just a little.
Mm-hmm,
everything
right.
I do is like 150%. Mm-hmm. So I've ended up having a marvelous career there, working in community relations, public relations, in development work, mm-hmm. worked at the foundation for about 8 years. And about a year and a half ago, I moved over to the University Center at McLennan, which is the program that brings the bachelor's and master's and doctoral degrees to our campus from affordable state universities. And you can probably tell that I'm still excited about that concept, because I just think it's a marvelous, just throwing the door open for so many people who
really
could
is.
Otherwise not achieve their dreams or achieve their career goals. And it's, talk about having a great product to talk about.
You do.
We do. And so I've been working with that for the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that's kind of cool is that I also do student advising. And mm-hmm. all these years I've worked in higher ed, I've never really worked a lot with students directly.
Right.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're sitting there taking a student's life. You know, they're like, well, I have all these bad grades, and now I've decided what I want to do, and help me get there. And they walk out with a path, with a clear path, and they're excited, and you feel like you just changed their life in a small way at
and
that
you
moment,
did.
And you did.
Yeah.
So I just love that part, too.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah.
I don't get to do that a lot
I know.
In my position.
I didn't know what I was missing
yes.
all those years.
All right. The only time I get to do that is when we work at the welcome desk during registration, and then I get to see a lot of students, but like only for a few minutes at a time.
Right.
But even then, it's really nice to kind of talk to them. And then I love going to graduation and seeing those kids walk across the stage. Or they're not all kids. Even, you know, when I see somebody who's as old as I am or mm-hmm. older, you know,
it's, boy, that's an achievement, isn't
yeah,
it?
It really is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love our mission. I really do. Let's see, where were we? Oh, what are the most important decisions a leader makes?
Any decision that has to do with people, and that sounds kind of basic, but what I mean by that is it's easy to make what seems to be a logical decision mm-hmm. and not realize the unintended consequences that can occur in people's lives, how it's going to affect people.
Wow, that is so true.
It is so true. And I've seen it happen,
mm-hmm.
and it can be tremendously painful when mm-hmm. it happens and it doesn't work out. So I always like to look at a situation sort of from a bird's eye perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the type, I see things from that perspective. I can look at all the angles, but then I'm not afraid to get in there and get my hands dirty with it either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just one of these big thinkers. I actually get in there and do stuff. So I always am looking at the unintended consequences. How might this affect this person?
Yeah.
And I think leaders need to put aside their own agendas and realize
yes.
that every decision they make doesn't just affect them or their boss or this little segment. It can affect everyone.
For a long time.
For yeah. And,
yeah.
And going back to what I said earlier about what my father did,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a day-to-day basis, maybe they were making sure that businesses put up the wage and hour poster mm-hmm. in their deal on a, you know, on a very granular level.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at what they were doing globally, it had a huge effect
yeah.
positively on
right.
people's lives. And so I guess I sort of channel that in what I do, in that I look at things not just short term, but mm-hmm. what's it going to mean to people's lives.
That's a really great perspective, mm-hmm. I think, because you're absolutely right. It's really hard sometimes to have that global perspective, but then also to think about, okay, these changes, even small, that I'm making right now or that my team's making could very well continue to the next 10, 20 years.
Right.
And, you know, the way we do it, the way we incorporate, or maybe we're making decisions that don't go through because of the way that we've communicated it or the way mm-hmm. we've come at it, and it really needed to be made, but
mm-hmm.
it's not because
mm-hmm.
of something you've said to someone else or done or whatever. So that's hard to do, but it's very important, I think, too.
Right. And yeah. I think a good example of that, and I'm not going to cast stones here because, you know, I know at the time the folks, you know, I look at the folks who lead our community, for example,
mm-hmm.
the city management and the council and our mayor and the county officials, and the decisions they have to make,
mm.
you know,
yes.
huge.
Yes.
And all you can do is make the best decision with what you have at the time.
Yes.
So let's look back to the I guess, late 60s, early 70s, when they decided to make Austin Avenue mm-hmm. a pedestrian mall. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you were in Waco mm-hmm. in the 80s when it was a pedestrian mall. And it, Sam Jack McGlasson famously said, Waco's brain dead, because the heart of our city was a ghost town. Mm-hmm. Nobody went into this pedestrian mall. So everybody, it's easy to say, well, they made the wrong decision. They weren't thinking. Well, you know, at the time, they probably really struggled over what to do to help revitalize our community after the tornado had taken out a lot of businesses. The malls were opening, businesses were fleeing to the suburbs. Mm-hmm. What to do? Mm-hmm. Well, I've been to many major U.S. cities in this country that have beautiful pedestrian malls that were implemented at that time that worked.
Right.
For whatever reason, ours didn't.
Yeah.
But somebody had the guts to say, okay, this wasn't the right thing. Let's go in there and open this back up. And look at it now, right?
Yes, it's awesome now.
So you make the best decision. At the time, that was the best decision they had. And then back whenever it was, 20 years ago, when mm-hmm. they decided to open it back up, that was a great decision. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so the decisions that we're making today with all this growth and change that's mm-hmm. happening, they're huge.
They're huge.
And I bow to our leadership in the community that are having to make those decisions, because it's no small thing.
And it takes a lot of courage.
Very much so.
You know, I mean, you're going out on what you think, and you're mm-hmm. kind of, people are looking at you to say, you're our leader, tell us what to do.
It takes a lot of guts.
It's so easy for people to say you're not doing a good job.
I know.
And it's, that's
Monday morning quarterback.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. And, you know, I kind of said the same thing goes for important decisions that a leader makes. I think it goes back to the same thing. It's about people. It's about, mm-hmm. like, hiring people is just really a lot of responsibility, because not only are you changing maybe the whole team, but you're also changing somebody else's life. I mean, they're going to come and be a part of your family for, could be the next 30 years, or, you know, it could be 1 year, but, you know,
30 days.
Yeah, 30 days. But I think that's hard. It's a lot of responsibility that people, I don't know if they take it as seriously as I do, but I just, every time I have to do, you know, mm-hmm. hiring process, I cringe, because mm-hmm. I just think, oh, why can't people just stay where they are?
It would be so much easier.
It would be so much easier.
Well, that is interesting, because that flows right into the next question that we had talked about, is that what was the hardest decision I ever had to make?
Mm-hmm.
It had to do with a scenario kind of like that. I had an employee that was struggling, mm-hmm. and I was told that this person wasn't going to be a good fit for our organization anymore. And so it was my job to talk to her about her options and help her transition into a new mindset, so to speak, while still leading the rest of the team mm-hmm. and not having that occurrence just decimate the unity of the group.
Yeah.
Terribly difficult. Yeah. The most difficult thing I've ever had to do. I mean, being a supervisor is really tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. I don't relish... I feel for you on that. But it goes back to that thing about a person's job is a huge part of their identity, mm-hmm. and you have to be humble and respectful of that.
Right.
And just because something looks like a logical choice, you have to remember there's a person and a family and feelings and heart behind every decision that you make.
Right, right. And you're right about the team, too, because it can really devastate a team sometimes, and it mm-hmm. could have an effect on a whole lot more people than just those few. And you know, that kind of, it's a good segue to, I feel like that some of the hardest decisions I have are being honest with somebody, but mm-hmm. giving them critical, you know, criticism,
feedback.
But you have to be really honest about it. And it's hard to think of, okay, how am I going to say this to this person, but make them feel valued still.
Right.
And I like to go at it like, you know, okay, these are the great things you're doing, and let's talk about those things that we can work on to make you a better person, the team a better place, the mm-hmm. college a better place to be. But those are hard to do. That takes, again, that's not something everybody wants to come back in to come into work every day and have to do that kind of
right.
thing. So.
So you're listening to the Central Texas Leadership Series on KWBU. I'm Kim Patterson, and I'm talking with Lisa Wilhelm. We're both McLennan Community College employees, and frankly, we're not just employees. We're like cheerleaders,
yes,
right?
We are cheerleaders. That's right. We're on the same cheer squad.
Exactly.
we're both Highlanders.
Both Highlanders, and have done the same position, actually, mm-hmm, at mm-hmm. the college at various times and work very closely together. And, you know, that's really a kind of a cool thing, too, because mm-hmm. there was a time when I think people thought Lisa and I didn't get along because
yeah.
we sort of, you know, there's that kind of that clash thing, but we work together really well.
Right.
And I love that.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah.
I do, too. I think maybe we're both strong females and, mm-hmm. and people think that women can't get along. And I'm like, you know, I have great female friends, and most of the women that I pick to be friends with are very, you know, strong, and they say their mind, and I want them to say it. You know, mm-hmm. I want them to be honest, and I like to see a woman that becomes, you know, good leadership for other girls, and for them to look up to us and say, I can be that. You know, I could still be a mom. I can
right.
still be a good wife, but I can be whatever I want to be, you know, director, CEO, you know, president, whatever. I mean, I want us to do that, and but also show that we can be great moms.
Mm-hmm.
We can still
nurturing.
Do it. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, it certainly takes a lot out of us, but you know, it's something to strive for. Okay, let's look real quick. Do you have another question that you'd like to delve into, Kim?
Well, one of the things we discussed was maybe talking about what character traits are important for leaders.
And, yes.
I think for me, it's the ability to make a decision and stick with it. And that doesn't mean to be stubborn about mm-hmm. it. And there's a fine line there, and walking that line is the key, I think, to that. In that, but you've got to have a lot of courage.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on that already. But seeing what needs to be done and then having the courage to do it.
Yeah.
And then make that decision and be willing to stand by your
mm-hmm.
decision. And if somebody comes in and says and brings new information, be willing to change it if it's obvious that, you know, the merits of the situation have changed. Being humble enough to say, you know what, I was wrong. Let's
mm-hmm.
do something different. But for the time, you know, somebody has to make a decision and go.
All right.
Otherwise, you stand there wringing your hands, going in a circle,
mm-hmm.
and I think a lot of folks in this world that I've seen, they just want somebody to step out and say, let's do this.
Right.
And I guess that may be one reason it's like every board I've been on, every committee I've been on, I'm always ends up being the chair because I'm not afraid to say, well, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, because of this, this, and this, this is what I see as the right path. And people are like, great. I have a path. I want a path. They don't like uncertainty.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we get down that path and maybe we need to readjust. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so arrogant that you can't see that there might be a better way. But I think that is the most valuable thing for a leader, is the willingness to be courageous.
Yeah. Courageous is a good word, I
mm-hmm.
think, because you're right. I mean, leadership, I think, comes down to that, is to make a decision and be the one who's going to step out and possibly fail.
Yeah, have the target on your back.
Right.
Yeah.
But be okay with that because, you know, you've set yourself up to be a leader, and that's what you just have to do. But I agree. I also think, we said this before, you have to be really careful about your ego whenever
mm-hmm.
you're a leader. And so many people get into it, and that's kind of like all they see. And I can see myself sometimes feeling, oh, well, I'm the boss, you know. But when it really comes down to it, you know, we're there to back up those people that are our, you know, team. We're not really, I mean, we're leaders, but on the other hand, I have to be there to help pick them up when they're down,
mm-hmm.
to help, you know, figure out what we're going to do in a problem situation. So I'm really more there to serve them and, you know, than to take on the thought that, you know, I'm the boss, you
right.
know.
And you're not afraid to get in there and do the work as well.
Right.
You're not too good for that.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
We're doers.
Absolutely. And I think that's a big part of it, that whole 150% energy, you know, effort
mm-hmm.
thing. You know, if your preparation and your effort come together, you're going to be successful.
Exactly.
But a big part of that is effort.
Yes.
Showing up, being committed, doing your homework, you know, all those things that you learn in kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
they still hold true. And the older I get and I see people that are just too willing to talk and not willing to listen and don't want to invest and don't want to get their hands dirty, that to me is one of the bigger issues I think that society's dealing with. Mm-hmm. Too much what can I get, not enough what can I give, what can I do.
Right, right. And you're right, a lot of talking.
A lot of talking.
A lot of talking.
Yeah.
And I'm you were saying, you know, a lot of times you become the chair of a board, and it's, you know, I always want to, at the end of our meetings, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Let's go through what I'm going to do.
Who's doing what?
Right, and who's doing what? And many times I find myself, okay, that's what I'm going to do now. Who's going to do, is anybody else going to do something, you know? And it's just who I am. I just feel like I want to get some stuff done. There are times when just talking is great, you know, and you do think through a lot of issues. But I do think that getting
action items.
Yeah. Right.
You're very good at that, by the way.
Well, thanks.
Your notes and your post-meeting notes.
Oh, well, thank you.
Amazing.
Kim, in writing the 50th anniversary history book, I know you interviewed a lot of local leaders and some of our student leaders. How did any of the things that they say, you know, give you some helpful advice or something that you can tell the listeners about as far as leadership's concerned?
Absolutely. There were several people that I featured in the book who have these great kind of rags to riches stories, I guess, for lack of a better term. And I guess what I learned as a leader from that experience is that these were all people who, to judge them when they were 17, 18, 19, 20, 25 years old, to say, well, you're never going to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And look at them now, because MCC came into their lives and changed them in some way. They are now hugely successful people in their fields. But if you had seen them at the time when they first stepped on the front door of MCC, you would never have bet that for some of them. And so I guess as a leader, it has made me so much more aware of the potential that lies within everyone. And that, again, sounds a little trite because people love to say stuff like that, but I have seen it in these folks. One of them, for example, got off a bus in Waco, Texas at 5:30 in the morning, had nothing with him but a suitcase and a guitar, spoke no English. He'd just ridden the bus like 18 hours from central Mexico. Long story, you'll have to read the book to find out why. Has his own architectural firm. He's a developer, a builder, building multi-million-dollar homes in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
Now, what are the odds of that,
right?
But MCC helped that happen for him.
Right.
MCC was the stepping stone. So had I seen that guy on the street, I probably would have run away, at the time. I would have judged and said, he's not to be trusted, whatever. Mm-hmm. He's unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now he's somebody who I would love to spend more time with. So interesting. So that is the leadership thing that I brought away from it, was students are just rich with potential.
Mm-hmm.
We're all rich with potential.
Mm-hmm.
But some of these students that come to MCC, they're at that point where they're like, you know what, I've played and I've made some mistakes and now I'm ready.
Yeah.
And MCC is their chance.
Yeah.
And so the fact that we give them that chance and can help them along the way is a beautiful thing. But not judging them and thinking, well, because you've done all these things, you're not going to succeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to lead you out of that past into your future. So, you know, maybe that's not true leadership, but it is in a way, because I think a lot about leadership is how do you view others?
Yeah.
And how do you bring them forward?
Right.
Bring them to where, from where they are to where you want to go, or
exactly.
they want to go.
Yeah.
So that was what I learned from doing the book.
That's awesome.
That and how to manage your time. That was a lot. But
yeah. That was on yourself, though. You were looking at yourself.
And,
yeah, I understand.
How do I lead myself out of this schedule? No, but seriously, the opportunity to talk to those leaders, and then also talking to people like the mayor, Duncan, and County Judge Scott Felton. Those folks are making those hard decisions.
Mm-hmm.
They have that courage. They're making huge decisions with what they know at the time, and they all see the value of our workforce development.
Yeah.
Education is key.
It is.
And so the fact that that has come to the fore with the Prosper Waco Initiative, I was able to talk to these folks and really get into the heart of what drives them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great, too, because I see we are in very good hands.
Yes, we are. We are.
That was Kim Patterson, Associate Director of the University Center at McLennan Community College, and Lisa Wilhelm, Community Relations Coordinator at MCC. This conversation was recorded September 4th, 2015, in the KWBU studio.